Marvelous for words, too wonderful for comprehension, like nothing ever seen or heard. Who can grasp your infinite wisdom, fathom the depth of your love? You are beautiful beyond description, majesty enthroned above. And I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you. Holy God, to whom all praise is due, I stand in awe of you. And I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you. Holy God, to whom all praises due, I stand in awe of you.
Let's be seated.
The third candle of Advent is pink, and it symbolizes joy. The third Sunday reminds us of the joy come into the world by God through the person of Jesus. With that, we light the candle of joy, adding it to the candle of hope from week one and the candle of faith from week two. Well, good morning, you beloved community. Good to see you here this morning. Thanks for joining us today. My name is Steve Sargent. I am the minister of this congregation. I'm so glad to see you today. If you are a long-timer, welcome back. We're so glad that you're here. If you are visiting, we're so glad that you're here too, and we hope that you feel especially welcome today. If you're online, your presence that way is such a gift and a benefit to the congregation at large, so thanks for joining us that way too. How about for a few minutes we stand, we greet one another, and then I will come back and read our psalm for the day. Let's do that now, please. All right, thank you. All right, before our call to worship, this little guy is going to join us on the screen right here. This is our hidden Jesus character, of course, and during Advent, this Jesus character hides somewhere around this room, and we do this on purpose. Hidden Jesus does this on purpose because it calls us to ask ourselves, what is Jesus up to? Where is he? We want to see him. We want to know where he is. Jesus is calling us to look for him, even though he's not very far. So during our first song today, after the psalm that we'll read together in just a bit, all of our young friends, you can search the auditorium. It is not up front. It is not on the walls. So that may give you a little hint, okay? You may do that during our first song today. Now, would you stand, please? Our call to worship is from Psalm 146. I will read the parts in white. Would you join me in the parts in yellow? We have three slides. Then let's remain standing for the songs that follow, please. Blessed are those whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God. He is the maker of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them. He remains faithful forever. He upholds the cause of the oppressed and gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets prisoners free. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the foreigner and sustains the fatherless and the widow. But he frustrates the way of the wicked. The Lord reigns forever. Your God, O Zion, for all generations. Praise the Lord.
Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. The shepherds all were watching while seated on the ground. A light from heaven descended and glory shone around. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the that Jesus Christ is born. This light shone in the heavens to cover all the earth. It was a sign to tell them about our Savior's birth. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. The wise men came to worship the Holy Child that day. They found him in a manger, asleeping on the hay. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. O beautiful star of Bethlehem, shining afar through shadows dim, giving a light for those who long have gone, and guiding the wise men on their way unto the place where Jesus lay. Beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. O beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine upon us until the glory dawn. O give us thy light to light the way into the land of perfect day. Beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. O beautiful star, the hope of light, guiding the pilgrim through the night, over the mountain till the break of dawn. And into the light of perfect day, it will give out a lovely ray. Beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. O beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine upon us until the glory dawn. O give us thy light to light the way into the land of perfect day. Beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. O beautiful star, the hope of rest for the redeemed, the good, the blessed, yonder in glory when the crown is won. For Jesus is now that star divine, brighter and brighter he will shine. Beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. Oh, beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine upon us until the glory dawn. Oh, give us thy light to light the way into the land of perfect day. Beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing. Joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat, repeat the sounding joy. No more let sins and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders, wonders of his love.
Let's be seated.
Good morning, everyone. This reading is from James 5, 7 through 10. Be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Brothers and sisters, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord.
Amen. Our collective prayer is one of adoration this morning. We have four slides. Again, I will read the parts in white, if you will join in the parts in yellow. Following that, we'll enter into a time of stillness. Lord God, astonishing Creator, we rejoice in all that your love has made, from the furthest glittering galaxy to the most minute molecules that make up our bodies, from the unfathomable oceans to vast deserts to skyscraping mountain peaks to quiet trees and city parks and blades of grass we try to keep low. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, we say, rejoice. Lord God, known to us in Jesus, we rejoice to know a friend so wonderful who will take our worries and our fears and share them with us, who will take our pains and puzzlements and heal us by them. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, we say, rejoice. Lord God, through your Holy Spirit, we rejoice in your free and unbounded grace that unites us, guides us, and lights up our way. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, we say, rejoice. Let's enter into a time of stillness.
Bless the Lord, my soul, and bless God's holy name. Bless the Lord, my soul, who leads me into bless the Lord, my soul, and bless God's holy name. Bless the Lord, my soul, who leads me into God's holy name. Bless the Lord, my soul, who leads me into life. Bless the Lord, my soul.
Beautiful singing today. Thanks, Brent. Thanks for leading us. Jessica and Megan, thanks for reading our scripture for today, and Dorian, who will read our text in a little while. All right, our youngest friends, there it is, can move back to the back table if you would like to. That's our roots table for our youngest parts of this congregation. We're so glad that you're here, as always. Miss Brandy, Miss Ellery, they're on their way. As they go, let's pray together, please. Oh God, you are our God, and earnestly we seek you. We give you thanks now for this time and this space, and by your goodness, would you pour forth the gift of preaching through me. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear. For it's through Christ we pray and do all things. Amen. You know the routine by now. Walk inside, past security, scan your paper ticket, take the escalator up, go through the double doors, grab the playbill, find your section, 205, find your row, 6, find your seat, 8. Since you are still at home, though, you have not done any of that quite yet. You will soon, but coffee first, a little cream, no sugar. You went to sleep last night in your humble abode, knowing that there would be an invitation for you in the morning to return to the Advent Theater for a third straight week. So confident, in fact, that you did not even check your email first thing, your usual sunrise practice. When the gears in your brain whirred into motion, waking you up from slumber, and you lay there, you looked up at the ceiling or the sky, quiet and still. Then what to your wondering eyes should appear but a miniature tune and 9 tiny words to a song you heard 7 days ago that comes back to you in your horizontal state? Like dancing in public, displaying your vocal ability or lack thereof is an activity you strongly prefer not to share with anyone. But since no one else is in this room with you, you can sing as loud as you please without anyone hearing. O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel. At the end of last week's Advent performance, the ensemble of saints and sinners inside your heart sang that song, a song you've always loved, even as a small child. You understand why it's only sung around this time of year, but you make a mental note to tell your pastor that you would like to sing it more often. Easter morning, dog days of summer, does not matter. And knowing him as you do, your pastor would receive your request quite benevolently and try to work it in somehow. A bigger question arises. Why a song in general? You like singing, you don't love singing, but you appreciate it, you like it. Nor do you think in musical terms. You cannot tell a treble clef from a staccato or what a major or minor note sound like or what it means to read music. And you certainly don't typically wake up with a song in your throat, but here it is, a ballad, a hymn of old that has taken up residence within your heart, or dare you say, your soul. Properly caffeinated, you ride to the theater, and along the way, you ruminate on the prior 2 weeks. You remember, firstly, when Isaiah's understudy quoted Isaiah chapter 2 about the rivering people streaming upward to the mountain of God, defying gravity and logic, and how spears origamied into pruning hooks. You remember last week's Isaiah stand-in, how she recited chapter 11, 10 long verses of it. about the green sapling making its very much alive way up through a dead tree stump of abandonment, and how wolves and lambs will live at peace with each other, and how babies and rattlesnakes will equally enjoy each other's company. The marvel of it all, and the unreasonableness of it, it scares you a bit to put your wishes in something that seems ripe for disappointment. But the Advent siren call keeps on humming, and so you have returned to this theater for a third time. You know the routine. Walk inside, pass security, scan your paper ticket, take the escalator up, go through the double doors, grab the playbill, find your section, 2, 5. Find your row, 6. Find your seat, 8. You forgot to bring your pre-show snacks. But no worries, you've got other things to chew on. Mainly that the house lights are already off and the spotlights already flipped on. You're not late, are you? No, you double-check the start time and you've got a few minutes to spare. You permit your eyes to return to the spotlight shining down from the rafters. You inspect the streaming beam, and sure enough, dust particles are still there, spinning and bending in pirouettes and pliés. And it strikes you that if the house lights were on, you could not see this graceful ballet at all. Like how in the noise of a crowded room, you could not hear a whisper from 20 feet away. You hold your breath, not wanting to blow them away, not wanting to disturb. Curious if you might hear their dance. Even though it's only the sound of silence, the solitary, lonely light has centered you, and you are unsurprised to find the curtain on stage lifting like a veil, almost as if it's been waiting for you. And Act 3 begins. From stage left, in walks today's spokesperson, stands before the mic, and recites confidently.
Isaiah 35, 1 through 10. The desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom. Like the flowers, it will burst into bloom. It will rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon will be given to it, the splendor of Carmel and Sharon. They will see the glory of the Lord, the splendor of our God. Strengthen the feeble hands. Steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear. Your God will come. He will come with vengeance. With divine retribution, he will come to save you. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer and the mute tongue will sing for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand will become a pool, the thirsty ground bubbling springs. In the haunts where jackals once lay, grass and reeds and papyrus will grow. And a highway will be there. It will be called the Way of Holiness. It will be for those who walk on that way. The unclean will not journey on it. Wicked fools will not go about on it. No lion will be there, nor any ravenous beast. They will not be found there. But only the redeemed will walk there, and those the Lord has rescued will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away.
Week one, when nations and weapons both changed courses, you questioned the speaker's sanity. Week two, when the presenter guaranteed a new leader and 100 other things, you reverted to doubting anyone who promised the moon. This time, though, as he walks off stage, you hear them as they are meant to be, the movements of a holy God who is on the way. That doesn't mean questions and doubts aren't arising in week three, a wilderness becoming an oasis, hot sands teeming with swimming pools, nothing dangerous or threatening on the journey, nah. But those difficulties are not taking a wrecking ball to your faith. They are not swamping the boat. Reservation and deconstruction have their place, you understand. But questions and doubts are not the enemy. What you sense instead is something like trust. And when Isaiah says, "Say to those with fearful hearts," you can hear that. And you can also hear, "Be strong, do not be afraid, your God will come." This is your constant longing and prayer, is it not? Maybe the shift has come as a result of familiarity. You know this theater now. You like your seats. The spotlight calls you to contemplation. A preacher type walks on, speaks up, walks out. But there is something more, and you know it. It's that today, the entire monologue sang. It sang, even though the narrator did not. The text sang from the very beginning to the very end. As a result of God's coming near, springtime flowers burst in the symphony. The voiceless break into refrain. Freed persons rejoice as they find their way back home. You, of course, recall from your Bible classes that it depicts the exiled nations of Israel and Judah joyously returning to Jerusalem after so long away. You also recognize it as the Carol of Advent, when God's coming near will once again lead all of creation to belt out in praise. Is this why, despite your best efforts, you woke up singing this morning? Some folks dotted around you have not moved from their seats. Others left quickly at the speech's end, as usual, off to brunch or to shop. You knew that was coming, but you are not cross at them. You don't belittle them. You get it. You've been there. But some, like you, have stayed. You are interested in what they are thinking about, but what you are thinking about is a memory that has just surfaced. You haven't thought about it in years. You lived in Abilene at one time, and one warm summer night, you walked into the rotunda in the Bible building, where a massive globe rotates on its axis ever so slowly, with stairs looping around it, leading to a second story and a vaulted ceiling. You were working, going to a classroom to get supplies, and since you have been around those there parts for years, you knew that the heavy doors into the building loudly bang shut behind you if you let them, but nighttime means quiet time. So you proactively caught them to gently stifle the noise. You're glad you did, because once inside the blissfully air-conditioned and dimly lit room, you heard a single sound, a man's voice. It was coming from upstairs. He could not see you. You could not see him. He was singing, it turned out, by himself. More than that, he was worshiping. Should you leave this private affair? Should you sneak out, continue on with your job? No. You decide you should stay. You should wait. You should eavesdrop. You should listen. His voice, you immediately recognize, was pure and clean, trained and skilled, with control of range and tone. And what you heard was a song you had heard often in your churches of your childhood, a notoriously difficult hymn led by a man directing his panting congregation with fluid waves of his hands. In this rotunda, this man had no human congregation to sing with or direct. And though you could not tell what he was doing with his hands, you were certain that they were lifted high above his head, so thunderous was his anthem. You cannot remember today the words to the stanzas, but because of the soloist from years ago, the chorus is divinely written on your soul. And it goes like this. When the man in that rotunda finished, the sound reverberated in that space. The song lingered was probably a better way to put it. It stayed even after the singing had come to an end, bouncing off the high ceilings and the tall walls in a stunning echo that had you convinced that this was not an unaccompanied solo after all, that legions of angels and a great cloud of witnesses and a gospel choir were there in worship with him, crowding in shoulder to shoulder, unmasked, eager to join in the cry of this chorus. Whether the man sensed that too is anyone's guess, but you were not about to ask him, because you were not convinced that the doorposts and the thresholds of that temple would hold. You did not know if you should flee for your life or take off your shoes. So you chose the middle ground, backing out slowly and silently, catching the heavy metal doors as you went, and walked out into the heat of the Abilene night, treasuring up all these things in your heart. Back in the Advent Theater, you don't know why the gentleman sang that particular song, maybe just for the sound of it. Or maybe because he could not help it, so in need of God was his cry. You are not one to offer cliche answers, but you like to think that in response to "Take my hand, let me stand, where no one stands alone," that Isaiah has a third invitation: to sing and to keep singing. Inside, outside, quiet, loud, sing. When you have no reason to sing, when all your reasons to sing have been lost, when you can't find the words, when you have not tried out your voice in a long time, even when captive in a faraway land and all your harps hang on willow trees by Babylonian rivers, sing. You will find good company when you do. Flowers, they'll jump in. They'll take tenor. The voiceless will chime in, they've got bass. Freed persons, no longer slaves, they'll take alto. The man in the rotunda, baritone. How about you take soprano? Or whatever comes out of your mouth, it does not matter. It will blend in perfectly. A collective choir who will harmonize in hope and faith and yes, even joy. Because your God will come. Your God will come. Your God will save you. Your God will rescue you. Your God will redeem you. For a replenished land, a healed whole person, and an approaching God can only lead to one place. Home. Can only lead home. Together, beloved, we can therefore say or we can type, amen and amen. Let us stand, and before we sing, though, let us wait in stillness and in great anticipation for the song to come. And Brent, whenever you're ready, you come forward and lead. Let's stand in stillness, please.
We shall assemble on the mountain. We shall assemble at the throne with humble hearts into his presence. We bring an offering of song, glory and honor and dominion unto the Lamb, unto the King. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. We sing the song of the redeemed. We shall assemble on the mountain. We shall assemble at the throne with humble hearts into his presence. We bring an offering of song, glory and honor and dominion unto the Lamb, unto the King. Oh, hallelujah. We sing the song of the redeemed. Glory and honor and dominion unto the Lamb, unto the King. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. We sing the song of the redeemed.
Be seated, please. We shall assemble, sisters and brothers, but that does not preclude us from singing now. We get to sing the song of the redeemed. Nor does that preclude us from the table now, this table, which is a foretaste of dining with God in God's full presence. So we eat and drink to get today with great joy this bread, which is the body of Christ, the cup, which is Christ's blood. We get to share this together this morning. What a gift this is. As we are accustomed to doing, if you would like to help share the bread and the cup with the congregation at large, you can do so. Just come forward in a moment after I pray. We give you thanks for joy, O God, and we confess that oftentimes joy seems so absent and incoherent and not possible. And yet in you, you say something different. You say that joy is found in you. So we give you thanks for this today, and now we give you thanks for the joy of bread and cup that we get to share with our family today. It's through Christ that we do all things.
God incarnate, here.
Peggy, we join you in that same praise and that same prayer. Thanks for leading us that way. Thanks also for eating together today. What a joy this always is. So let's also give together. We have a time to give. The plates in just a moment will be passed around. If you happen to fill out any of those cards that I fail to mention every single Sunday, you can place those in there. We'll take care of them. If you have an offering, a tithe, a contribution, you can do that as well. You can give online. You can bring it to the office. We'll take care of that. Let's pray together. As Peggy prays over us, we do give you thanks today, O God, for the ways that you keep showing up and rescuing us and redeeming us. We are grateful this morning. We're also grateful for the gifts that are given and for the people who give them. And we pray that you would, by your good spirit, bless both. It's because of Christ we pray. Amen. All right, a couple of family matters to share with you. Carter will go to the first one. Isn't Carter doing a great job on the slides? I'm so thankful for that. You're not? We think you are. We see your handiwork up on the screens, Carter. All right, we mentioned this last week, but there is a Wednesday night prayer group that is meeting here on surprise Wednesdays and Wednesday night at 7 p.m. here in the lobby. This just began last Wednesday. Larry and Mercy and Ruth and some other folks are gathering here. You can join them on Wednesday nights moving forward. 7 o'clock here in the lobby. This will be after Reach to Teach, which usually concludes around 6:15 or so. All right, next one is an announcement about a children and teens party happening next Sunday. This will take place over in the fellowship hall immediately after classes from 12 p.m. to 1:30. We'll have lunch together. We have a couple of adults that are already going to be present. So if you are a parent to one of these young ones, you can go and do lunch on your own. You can go do a little shopping if you need to. We'll take care of them immediately after service next week. And this one right here, next Sunday, we'll have some poinsettias set up all over the stage and all around right here, should you give $5 per flower in honor of somebody or memory of somebody. If you would like to do that, then you can just let King know via email, writing everything down. If you happen to put it all in a contribution envelope today with names on it, that will get to him. Okay, these are $5 per, and it'll happen next Sunday, and then you get to take them all home immediately after service. Those are for you. Before I talk about classes, a quick reminder that I have rented a 15-passenger van to drive to Waco on Thursday to go visit our friend David Lewis. David's been gone to Waco for 5 or so years now, so we're going to go visit him. We have, I think, 5 spots left in that van if you would like to join us. Larry back there is your contact. Just let him know. We're going to meet here at the building at 8 a.m. and leave by 8:15 or so. That's this Thursday. All right, classes up on the screen. We'll talk about classes more next week specifically. But these happen all over the building, and I sure hope that you can be a part of one of these smaller groups, smaller community groups, immediately after we dismiss from here. And before we do that, would you stand? Would you receive this benediction? Today, this is the end part of Isaiah 35, which Dorian read so beautifully a little bit ago. A highway will be there. It will be called the way of holiness. It will be for those who walk on that way. The unclean will not journey on it. Wicked fools will not go about on it. No lion will be there, nor any ravenous beast. They will not be found there. But only the redeemed will walk there, and those the Lord has rescued will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. Go forth in peace and purpose.